Proverbs chapter 22. If somebody could read for me Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6, please. Thank you. Yes. So, a verse we've all heard many, many times, I'm sure. But what does that mean? To train a child up in the way he should go? They need taught something, right? There's something missing. They need to be taught. What do they need to be taught? They need to be taught no. Right? A lot of different ways to say no. We see these things all the time, right? Don't do this, don't do that. We get told no all the time. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do is raise children. You know, making the right decision is difficult for them. You know, you want to try to make the right choice. Do we always get it right as parents? No, of course not. But at some point, they have to make their own decisions, right? They have to be the one to do that. What age do they do that at? One? They start making decisions, yeah, they do. How do you know when it's right to let a child make their own decisions? Probably when they stop listening to you, right? Let them figure it out. Right? Sometimes they just need told no, though. You have to tell them no. And as parents, how often do we use that word no? But if you don't tell them something, they're going to do it their own way. They're going to learn it the hard way, right? That's what I do. I've been learning it the hard way since 1980. So I'm an expert. The Bible uses the word no 1,735 times. That's a lot of no. God tells us no all the time. turn over to Numbers chapter 13. I just want to look at a couple examples here. Numbers chapter 13 tells us about the spies that were sent into Canaan to go scout out the land and see what was there. Numbers 13, beginning in verse 25, says, "At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran of Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, 'We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan.'" At this point, you can kind of envision that it's getting, people are getting excited at this point. You know, they're getting nervous. You know, all of these different nations that, you know, are going to cause them harm, and they're painting this picture of doom and gloom, you know. Verse 30, "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy out, it is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height.'" The Israelites were told no by these spies. They said, "Hey, we can't do this. It's not possible. It's not going to happen." And there's a response to this. If we go down to Numbers chapter 14, God has a response here. Numbers 14 and verse 27 says, "How long shall this wicked generation grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall on this wilderness, and all of your number, listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." I'd say that's a hard no. You're not going into the land of Canaan. It's not happening. All of those people that were there, we're never going to see that. another example, Moses at the burning bush. Dan kind of stole my thunder on Sunday, but that's fine. Different application. it's kind of interesting here how Moses had all of these excuses. You know, in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 11, "But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And then verse 13, he says, "If I come to the people in Israel to say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?" He's questioning God. Down in chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you." More excuses. Verse 10 of Exodus 4. "But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since I have spoken, or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." And the last one in verse 13, "But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else." He did not want to do that. That is not something Moses wanted to do. You know, we think of the mighty Moses rescued the Israelites from Egypt. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to have anything to do with that. God's pretty frustrated at this point, as it says in verse 14, "Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." I'll stop right there and say, that's not something you want to happen to you. You don't want the anger of the Lord kindled against you. And he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand the staff with which you shall do the signs." That's another definitive no. Go do what I told you to do. He wasn't getting out of this. God responded to all of his excuses and said, nope, those aren't valid. You're going to go do what I said. Jonah did the same thing. You know, he tried to run away. He tried to get out of going to Nineveh. Didn't work for him either. God said, no, you can't do that. So what does the word no mean? I didn't look it up. We all know what the word no means. No means no, right? But to the world, what does it mean? I don't know anymore. I don't think the world knows what the word no means. Children aren't told no anymore. Why? Well, we don't want to hinder their growth. We don't want to smother them. They have to find their own way. They need freedom to find out who they really are, right? I believe I mentioned this before, that you know, when I was growing up on TV and in different places, you always heard, you can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. And that sounds great, right? I'm still not an astronaut. Didn't happen. Didn't work out. But that kind of a thought process is very positive and encouraging to children. You know, they think, yeah, maybe I can be anything I want to be. I can do anything I want to do, right? I can be anything. I can be any gender I want to be, right? That's the new thing. I can identify as an animal. There are kids today that they call them furries at school. They dress up like animals. I'm not making this up, I promise. They wear cat ears and all kinds of weird stuff and bark like a dog in the middle of class. Somehow that's okay. Because we want kids to be what they want to be. What is that? That's the devil trying to let sin prevail in people's lives. Do whatever you want to do because there's no consequences, right? That's what he wants people to believe. And that's the real problem. Not that people want to have an aspiring career, but they don't see any negative consequences for their actions. I'm sure several of you have heard about this by now. There's supposed to be something on the ballot this fall that will allow kids to make their own decisions when it comes to be what gender they want to be. It's going to be something that does not allow their parents to tell them no. That they can just go and have a surgery and do whatever they want to do. And their parents can't do anything about it. They want to take away the parents' rights to say no. That's what parents do, right? We say no all the time. That's our job. It's to say no. It's something that we really should know about as Christians. Because it's an attack on godliness, on righteousness, and good morals. It's promoting sin.
Kevin?
Yes.
It all backs up to the parent. You know, of course your kids are going to hear, no, we all, and that's the way it is. But when Paul wrote to the Ephesians in 6:4, he said, provoke not your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It starts at home. And of course kids don't want to hear, no. None of us do, really, but when we made our mind what we want to do. But it still comes back to the responsibility of the parents. Regardless of what the school does or the government, the parents or the father in particular, the head of the household. And he, along with his wife and mother, has a responsibility to make sure that that child is being taught the way God expects the parent to teach them. And so unless we do that as parents, children are going to do what they want to do, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's pretty much my next point here, you know. What happens when you let kids run the household? Nothing good, right? That's not going to work. There's parents out there that let their kids do that. They let their kids make the decisions. They let their kids basically decide what's right and wrong. Anyone heard of the book Lord of the Flies? Not recommending that you read it. It's been a long time since I read it. But apparently the main premise is there's a group of kids stranded by themselves that there's no adult supervision at all. They're living together trying to form a society, and it doesn't work out too well. You know, kids do what they want to do without rules and parents to tell them the right from wrong. The question is, where do the parents learn it from? Well, their parents, right? Where did they get it from? Their parents and on down the line. Where did it ultimately come from, though? God, of course. Since the beginning of time, God has been trying to tell us right from wrong. We as humans have not always listened. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your minds on things that are above. This is not an instinct that most people have. How do you do that? How do you set your mind on things above? You have to be taught that, right? It doesn't come natural for most people. They have to be taught that and shown what to do. God gave us the Bible to guide us in that way. So what about when it fails? When parenting fails, what happens? Parents can't control their children. Ask a school principal. They'll tell you, right? Children get in trouble and the parents have to come in and talk about it. What do the parents say? Oh, he's always such a good kid. She never acts out. He would never do that. Right? That's what they say. All our kids are angels, aren't they? But who's there to make a bad decision right? Who's there to fix it? No matter what we did, you know, whatever we broke, whether it was something physically we broke or trust that we broke, our parents help us fix that, right? Why? They know right and wrong. They know what to do. They learn that from ultimately God and His guidance. And of course, I want to be sure to mention this, even the child that's raised 100% correctly, everything was done right, they can possibly make a wrong decision. That's just life, right? We all sin. We all make the wrong choice from time to time. You have to hope they find their way. But some of these children that you hear about that, you know, they play video games in their parents' basement all day and all night. You know, they yell at their parents. Why? They haven't been told no enough, right? Those are the kids that go out and shoot up the schools because they haven't been told no. It's very, very important to tell your kids no, daily, right? I don't know. There's no set rule. But they have to know their boundaries. And if they don't know their boundaries, well, that's when bad things happen. I'm hoping this is the last controversial thing I'll bring up. What about the pronouns, right? Pronouns is a hot topic right now. Kids are told that you have to call that person they. Can't say he or she. It's offensive to some people. What do we do about that situation? You know, a lot of these things are hard situations to deal with. Parents have to figure it out, right? It seems like new stuff is coming up all the time. You know, the devil's inventing new ways to draw people in. He's doing everything he can. It's like he's pulling out all the stops now, right? What do we tell our kids when they're presented with that situation? Because it will happen at some point. I was told at work I shouldn't use the word gentleman in an email. You know, addressing a group of people as gentlemen. They're all men. But I was told, you probably shouldn't do that. I said, well, I'm probably gonna. That's just, that's how I learned English. You want to reteach it to me, fine, but that's what I learned. Do we stand up for what's right? You know, we might think, well, it's not that big of a deal. I got to pick my battles. You know, there's a lot of bad things out there. Is it really that big of a deal? Is it really going to cause that big of an issue if I don't stand up for whatever the new thing is? Yeah, it probably will. Did I miss anybody's hands, by the way? I don't know if anybody had it. Okay. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 says, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" Why is that so hard to understand? It's been that way for thousands of years, right? Why do people want to change that?
Because they don't like to hear what they're hearing for the most part.
Yeah.
That's the way it's always been. I remember years ago, I can't remember where I was on TV or what, but they were talking about kids and how they do, you know, how they think. And one of the persons who was talking about it said, "Let him alone, he's expressing himself." And I said shortly thereafter, "After he gets finished expressing himself, I'm going to express mine." And I've done that a number of times over the years. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I remember Solomon said, "If you beat him with a rod, he will not die." I'm not advocating taking a rod and beat your kid, you know, but it wasn't me that said that. It was Solomon with all of his wisdom. And we just lost track of mainly parents. I don't blame the kids. It's mainly parents. We've lost track of our responsibilities. You know?
Yep.
And sometimes you can use your responsibilities the way God wants you to, and it doesn't work. But the end result is, if we've done what we're supposed to do, then that's all right with God. That's the way I feel about it.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes saying no means saying it no differently. Like you said, with different children, things work differently. Right.
I think King James says.
There's limits, right? Yeah, there's limits on the parents,
and
too.
Again, it's the responsibility of the parents, of all of us, to know what the scriptures teach and then apply it. You know, that's where we get into trouble. Even if we don't, a lot of times we don't apply it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, knowing the scriptures to be able to teach them is critical, right? We can't teach our children if we don't know ourselves right from wrong. You know, again, we're not always going to make the right decision, but, you know, saying no is different for each child. You know, not each child is going to respond in the same way. Some kids, you can look at them and say, no, they're done. Some kids take a rod, you know, whatever it takes to make them realize there's limits. I think that's what Solomon's point was. Figure it out, you know, we have to figure it out. Yeah, and we have to figure out a way to teach them, right? There's got to be a way to teach them. Matt?
So whatever is legislated by those people, they can put it out there. These shows they're putting out, making you feel like everyone in the world is this person. Everyone in the world is a transgender. Listen, I know very, very few. But the world makes it sound like it's bigger than it is. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be aware of it, but we can't allow this to feel like it's everywhere, and now we don't know what to do. You just do what you keep doing. You talk to people and stand up where it needs to be stood up for. And that's why, but don't get downtrodden. We can't get downtrodden. I think that's what a lot of it. And it's a fake thing as far as being the majority feels normal. The majority, even if they're not real righteous people, they feel normal about these very strange things.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. And, you know, the whole point of me bringing this up is to make sure that everyone's aware of these things, to make sure that people know that these issues are out there, and at some point, you probably have to deal with it, whether it's when your kids are in school or maybe on the job. You know, there's at some point in your life, you're going to have to deal with some of it. And, you know, it goes back to what Dale was saying. We have to be prepared and know the Scripture and know what the Bible says about these things to make sure that we're prepared. Yeah, Barb. Right. Yeah.
And then they have their wits about them that they can kind of determine when they get older, you know, okay, I know God doesn't like this, so I better not do it.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great point that, you know, we have to explain why. And, you know, if we look at the Scriptures that we just read earlier, did God ever tell anyone no and not tell them why? No, he told them, you sinned. You did something wrong. You didn't do what I told you to do. You messed up. And then he told them no. So yeah, we have to give a reason for why we're saying that. One more thing to bring up. You know, this idea of telling people no, you know, we as adults think sometimes that we're exempt from that, right? We don't need to be told that much. We know right from wrong, right? We don't make as many mistakes as children do. But, you know, it's still things that need to be said, obviously, is why God wants us to meet every week, come together, learn about the Word, be reminded of things that we need to be thinking about. You know, I don't know about you, but I forget a lot of things. You know, last time, you probably don't know this and I shouldn't say it, but last time I preached here, I forgot my suit jacket at home. And you know, Eddie was nice enough to loan me one, but it happens. People forget things, right? On the way here tonight, I remembered that. So I looked in the car and I said, yep, suit jacket, tie, glasses, phone, lesson. Okay, we're good, right? We forget things. As time goes on, I'm learning that I forget more and more things every day. So that's why we need to be told no sometimes, reminded of certain things to not do. You know, the world thinks, again, you can do whatever you want to do, be whoever you want, marry whoever you want, divorce whoever you want, live how you want to live, you know. There's actually now websites that you can get a divorce on. I shut down the Wi-Fi, so don't even try. But seriously, they're out there. There are websites you can go to and get a divorce right on the website. You could probably do it from your phone, you know. It just doesn't even make sense, right? How is it that easy to do something like that? Well, that's what our world wants, right? We want things easy. We want things the easy way. We want everything the easy way. Who wants to do it the hard way? Nobody, right? Sometimes we have to do it the hard way. The easy way is the path of least resistance. That's what people want. They don't want to be told no. They want to be told, do whatever you want. I think I'm going to save most of that for the next study. I'm pretty sure I'm back in 2 weeks, so don't go anywhere. But when it comes to us, I want you guys to think about, for next time, think about some of the things that you tell yourself no. Especially physical things, you know. No, I don't need that. I don't need to go out and buy this. I don't need to go shopping for that. I'm pretty sure I bought something on Amazon every day this week. I'm pretty sure, actually. I just bought something earlier, a $12 item that I thought, yeah, I really need to get that. You know, and it's nice because it's convenient. You know, I just get on my phone. Hey, I need one of these. Shows up at my door the next day or two. Right? Instant gratification. You don't have to wait on anything. Who has patience anymore? You don't need patience. Everything happens right now. You know, we don't have to have patience. We don't have to be told no. We can't tell ourselves no, right? How often do we decide to tell ourselves no? Yep, Autumn.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's different. Why? Because we're not the world, right? We're not supposed to be of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world, right? And that's the difference. We can look at the world all day long and say, they've just got it wrong. Everything's messed up. But that's not us, right? That's not us at all. I don't have time for that. But we don't have to be negative about a study on the word no, right? Kind of sounds ironic, but it's a good thing, really. It's a good thing to know when to say no to your kids. It's a good thing to know when to say no to yourself. Yeah. Yeah, of course, right. For good reason, right? A lot of us might think about how many times our parents told us no. You know, and we thank them for that, right? Thank you for raising me the way you did. Probably could have said no a few more times, right? You know, I got away with a few things, right? You know, there's a few things I got under the radar. Probably should have been told no a few more times than I was. You know, most of us that happens. We have to recognize, though, that this is something that we have to be aware of. And again, like Autumn said, it's a balance. We have to know yes and no, when to say that. Is there any cut and dry answer to everything? No, not usually. It's hard to figure that out sometimes. We have to follow the scriptures, though. That's our baseline. It's our guidebook. We have to do it. That's the best way to do it. Anybody have anything else? All right, we'll stop there. Thank you. Appreciate it.